All right, welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. So this is gonna be 72, and here's some questions I have. I just rec I'm recording these episodes back to back, and then I'm gonna append the actual comic that I read. But that last one, there were only three questions, and it lasted me a long time. And this is like, I don't know, it's like six questions. So maybe I won't even have a what I read this on this episode, but these ones I even got earlier and I saved them off. I just didn't expect to get any live tweet questions as I was recording. And I was the previous episode I was gonna put it out with these questions, and then I just said, "Are there any questions? Last minute questions?" And then bang, 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 I got three, which I love because I don't like to prep for questions. I just like to think of what's the spur of the moment answer, and I like to walk around and I don't like to prep. Prepping is the worst. That's like homework. I don't want to prep. I mean, there's so many podcasts I would like to do that are historical and stuff I'd like to do research for, but I'm too lazy. There's just not enough time in the day. Maybe when I retire, if I retire and I'm healthy, and it's kind of my dream, like to do. I'm very simple. Like the things I like to do, I love to walk, go for walks. I love to do that. I want to be able to do that. I love to sit on the porch and just chill. I love to read comics. I love to go to the theater every week if I could. If I don't have money, I might not go to the theater every week, but I could read and I could walk. Those are two things that aren't going to cost me anything. And I'll be very happy with that when I retire. And then if I could podcast about that, then I could. Like, I'd like to do a lot of podcasts. I'd like to do a lot of things with a lot of my feeds, but I have so many ideas in my head. I just don't have the time. And one of the things I've let drop, I mean, DC Noise has kind of dropped because we just don't have time to get together on Saturday nights anymore, and that's become Gotham by Geeks Night. But Geek Brunch and Retro are always on schedule, and we do take breaks because we're not always available at the given time, but it's always a given time. It's usually Sunday mornings. Mike M's is easy to do because it's whenever I have time. I don't like Barb to be here because she laughs at me. Because I sit there and walk and talk to myself. It's awkward. It's weird. But when she's not here, and I have time, I love to do Mike M's. Because I'll sit down, walk around. Harley's going in and out. She looks at me like I'm crazy. But she knows what I'm doing. And, yeah. But we got a lot of questions. So let's break this down. I think even in one of the last episodes I recorded, I would like to know from you if two episodes of Mike M's a week is too much. Like, if you could never keep caught up on the feed because there's two, and then maybe one other podcast like Geek Brunch, DC Noise, or Geek Brunch Retro. Because I don't want to overflood it. But what I could do is I could batch them up. So, like weeks I know I'm not going to record, I have them. So, if you listen to this episode, let me know what you think about that. But, let's get to these questions. Oh, I just want to talk about one other interesting thing at the comic shop. So, I went to the comic shop, and that's when I bought those flashes I talked about in the previous episode. And Rob had some damaged books sent to him, unfortunately. And I was able to find the Snagglepuss issue for him at my comic shop. And I found Green Lantern's 38, which he also needed, which there seems to be a short supply, and I'm thinking there's a short supply because of their damaged copies. And I found it, and I got it, so I got these two books. I said, cool, he needed these, and he also needed a Mr. Miracle number 6. So I bought those three issues for him, and I know he's like, I think he's more anal about like, gotta have cover A or, don't mix and match. I don't know. He seems to be more, because he had those damaged books, and I kind of, I know the, I saw a picture of one of them, and it had a puncture in it, so it was bad. And he did get his money back, but he wants to have a copy. And there's like, you can't find this book, the Green Lanterns. And I even asked. So I got Green. I saw the Green Lanterns. I said, okay, I got all his books that he needs. And I look at the Green Lanterns cover of this one, and I know he doesn't want another damaged cover, and it's off staple. They miscut it. So you can't even see the 38 on the cover. It's on the back of the cover. And I'm like, oh shit, Rob isn't gonna wanna wa get that issue. So I put that issue back, and then I texted him the next day, and I said, would you want a cover B? And he said, yeah, that'd be okay. So I grabbed a cover B yesterday, and that's when I picked up the Flashes. 'Cause I didn't know, I could have sworn I had the first Heat Wave. Had to go to my database, check it. Saw I didn't. No, I wanted it. I thought, well, if I get burned in one day and somebody picks it off, it wasn't on the wall. I knew where it was in the box. So fortunately, I took the chance. I was like, what's the worst can happen? I don't get it. And then I don't spend that money. But I don't even know why I went off on that. I don't even know why you listen to these things. They're kind of me just rambling. So we got Nick Wetmore, another Nerdy Legion guy, one of my favorite guys to listen to. The sweet sounds of Nick Wetmore. He's got a beautiful singing voice. He asks, I know you are a mood reader, but do you ever reach into your uncatalog long box and pull out five random comics to read? No. Because the mood drives it, but I will reach into a box and thumb through it and pick something that I want to read. I won't do it like sight unseen. That's dangerous. But I know somebody who did, Derek Coward, who's I'm on his network, the Comic Book Noise Family Network. He used to have the Random Comic Review. And that was a lot of fun. He'd have a random generator, I guess, that would tell him a box to go look at a box, and then he'd like just put his hand in and grab a box. Or I don't know if it was, it might have been that. No, I think it was the other. He would put all his comic books in a number generator, and he would say, "Okay, you want to read Damage Number 4," and he'd go find Damage Number 4. But that's how he did his random comic review. And I enjoyed it. I just don't think I could do it. Nick asks a question that I get asked a lot. And it says, what comic book based podcast do you listen to? The only one that I think I could exist on is Nerdy Legion because I think I fit in in that podcast. But the podcast that I listen to, my number one podcast, my favorite, and it reminds the, I'll tell you why I like Nerdy Legion. And number one, it reminds me of Geek Brunch. And I love recording Geek Brunch with Bill because I'd never know what I'm going to get. And I sort of know what we're going to cover, but I never know what we're going to get. Nothing's scripted, nothing it that's why I like Nerdy Legion. And they're not always about comics. You'll get comics discussion almost guaranteed a little bit in every episode. except for the last one I heard, it was all TV. But you even get some good recipes. So I like that, and that I like the format because it's like a format that I could do. It's a format that I do, and it fits with me and my personality. So Nerdy Legion is my favorite podcast that's comic related. It's one that I listen to, and I don't even know what made me. What makes me try it is I knew it from Valiant Central, and that's another podcast I listen to. So I listen to Valiant Central with Martin Paul, and they have a new host. I don't know his name, unfortunately, because he Travis. He's been on the last two. So I do listen to that one. I like it because it's same reasons. It's sort of not. It's kind of Valiant related, and it's kind of not. I think Travis is grounding him a little bit, which most Valiant fans would like. You know, let's talk Valiant. I could care less. I just want to hear him talk. So, I listen to Valiant Central. That one I'll be a little bit behind on. Nerdy Legion I'm pretty caught up on. But I think now that they went to bi-weekly, I'm caught up. I think I haven't listened to the last one. The other pot so those are the two podcasts I listen to on the Nerdy Legion feed. And then this usually occupies my whole week, especially my walks, doing dishes, whatever thing I'm actually doing. So let's see, the other ones I've listened to are Comic Book Page. I've been listening to that at the beginning. This one I could never be on because they're too structured, and it would be hard. I would fit in because it used to be John Mayo and Bob Breetal, and I have a lot in common with them. I've never talked. No, I can't say that. I've talked to Bob, and I've met Bob more on more occasions than I have John. So I know Bob more. He's come on the DC Noise event episode a couple times, and I've met him at Baltimore Comic Con, I believe it was, and had dinner with him. I've talked to him online several times. We've chatted on IM about collecting comics. He's been on Mike M's Collector's Corner. He has the Guinness Book of World Records in comics. So they're hardcore collectors, so I have that in common with them. John's very similar. I've always, when they were together in Comic Book Page, I would associate myself more with Bob because of his sensibilities. John's are a little bit different in that he tends to focus on superhero stuff, like that's his thing, whereas Bob would get other things. And then what happened is, Bob left that podcast. He went and did his own website. There's not really a podcast to go along with it, but the Comic Spectrum. And I still talk to Bob from time to time. He posts a lot of food stuff, and I comment on that. I like food. And I'm supposed to have another Mike M's Collector's Corner with him to continue my conversation. The Collector's Corner have gotten a lot of positive feedback. It's just hard to do because I have to coordinate, and I have Hassan queued up. I just haven't had time to schedule it, and I really want to have that discussion. Shit, I might ask him this weekend. What the hell? That's a podcast that I want to continue. I find it very educational for myself. because I don't focus on me. I'm not talking. I'm more like asking them about their collecting habits and stuff like that. And that's always fascinating. It's almost therapeutic for me because I'll like learn other strategies for archiving or for doing things. It's also good to talk to people that have the same compulsion. But anyway, John and Bob have a lot of comic books. I think monthly I buy more comic books than both of them, but I know for a fact that I do not have the Guinness Book of World Records. He's over 100,000 and I'm somewhere in the 70,000. So I'm quite a ways away, even though I'm probably absorbing more monthly ones than he is. I buy more than John, though. I know. I've heard what he orders, and I've consistently bought more than John. But they're both hardcore collectors, and that's why I listen to that podcast. And I just never stopped. Now it's Drew. Drew's a different collector. He reads a lot. He adds to the podcast because it takes John out of his element of superheroes and something that Bob used to do. So he's a good fit. And they review comic books, and sometimes Drew gets to even pick, which is good. You just don't see a lot of like horror themed or anything like crossed or anything because John's got a weak stomach with the blood. Even though he reads Walking Dead, which fascinates me because there's a lot of hardcore themes and stuff in there that I think would, even though it's really well written, would turn someone's stomach. But I listen to that. I listen to the Mayo Report, which is sort of a summary of market, how comics are doing in the market. And but that only comes out once a month, along with the trades summary. It's the top, 300 trades, and he doesn't go by list. They just talk about like certain trends, like what the top 10 are, what are some interesting things they've seen in the list. I've always been fascinated with it, ever since Preview started publishing the top 100, and I've seen in Wizard magazines. I've always wanted to know what people were buying, and I continue. That stuff is like not for everyone, but I'm fascinated with what people are buying. And first issues, they're mysterious because they mean nothing, at least to me. It means that a store is gambling on a book because of a first issue, and usually it has 1,000 covers, and it sells a lot because they want the 1 in 500 and they have 500 copies, and it really means nothing. But it's when you get into some of the other bigger numbers that are more interesting. So I've always liked that, and then trades I like a lot more. I wish I could buy more. I wish I had a house that I could just put bookshelves on in every room and just cut so that you couldn't even see like the wall. If you looked at a wall, there'd just be it'd be like a lot. There's like a an old photo that I posted on Twitter of an old library where this guy's like has this huge ladder to get to books and shit. That's what I would like my walls and my house to be, just covered with bookshelves and all kinds of archived comic books everywhere. That ain't gonna happen, but that's what I wish would happen. So we got Nerdy Legion, Valiant Central, Comic Book Page, Mayo Report Comics, and Mayo Report Trades. So I listen to those. I listen. I learned about Drew's podcast from Comic Book Page because he's the co-host, and I followed him over to Comics for Fun and Profit. I like that. I like the banter between two brothers. It's interesting. They pick books that it used to be what they like to read, but now it's more like what's coming out and what to spec on. It's interesting. I like that. I like that conversation. I like the chemistry between two brothers. I would record with my brother if he gave a shit about comic books. But right now he's skiing. He's got other interests. But he used to. I just never, comics have always been there for me, and they'll always be there for me until the day I die. I'll probably be burned with them, like a few comics. Just take them with me, and as they light my boat on fire, they can use the comic books as something to light the boat on fire, and then I have a Viking funeral, and they just let the boat go off, and the boat burns with my comics and me off into the sunset. Any other podcasts? Oh, Comic Book Noise, which Derek Coward, I've listened to that. I liked when it was more frequent. Now it's not so frequent. So when things start to get out of pattern, I explore other things. And that could be dangerous for a podcast. Because if I find something to take its spot and I like it, it takes its spot. But Derek has always been there, and I listen to his podcast. I like when he drives and does them because they're spur of the moment, and you get to hear him cuss as he's driving. But now he's in an Uber, I guess, going to an Uber in, to work, and you don't get to hear that as often. So he used to be almost daily, at least when in the summertime when he was doing the daily podcast thing. I listen to Comic Book Noise every day, and it was short. You know, it was like, here's 20 minutes on my way to work kind of thing, and it was posted regularly. Trying to think. I just started listening to another one because I ran out of podcasts, and that's unusual. But sometimes comic books during the holidays, they take breaks, and I catch up, and I got nothing to listen to. So I usually don't. I know what I like, and I know what's out there, and I just need to dig. I need to dig. I found Cowcast through the other podcasts because I've heard the owner of the comic store talk. And I figured, you know, why not try this? And it's a good podcast to fill that time when the other podcasts are not putting out material. So I will listen to the Cowcast. On there, you'll hear a retailer perspective. So if you're into that, how comics are selling in a store or what strategies a retailer would want to do, then I would point you to the Cowcast or what people are buying that might be interesting. So you could see I'm interested in a lot of buying things because I listen to the mail reports and such, and then I listen to this. I don't know why that is because it's not something that I talk about very often. Let's see, what else do I listen to? I listen to the Comic Book Attic, and he's a hardcore collector too. I don't know how many comic books he has. He doesn't buy things in pristine either. He looks for the good deal on comics, and he goes to like, I used to like the episodes where he would go out and Michael Pindell, he would go out and the flea market and say what he bought, and he would go to the comic store on a 10-cent sale or something and come back with a lot of stuff. And I actually met him too at a convention, even if it was really brief. I would have liked to talk to him. He's also a musician. That one I use as one of my fill gaps. So Cowcast in that one. And the other one would be comics. Why am I brain farting on this one? Let me see. Comics and History by my friend Brian Regate. And I listened to that one, but he went away for a while and it kind of moved, something moved in its place, and that's where I'm talking about podcasts. That probably happens with me too. I'm like doing a podcast, I go away for a while, I probably lose listeners. It's the nature of the beast. You gain listeners, you lose listeners. I'm probably like a flatline podcast. I have, I don't know. I don't check the numbers. I don't think I have big numbers. I don't think I ever did. I think as long as I have 10 people that are willing to listen to me, then it's worth doing. I could have zero, at least. I like talking to my friends, and I don't really care if anybody listens. It's good to have people that listen. It's good to have people give me feedback and send me questions because it gives me things to talk about. But I would probably do what I did if I had zero listeners. Mike M's is fun because it's a diary. I get to talk to myself. And I think that's it. So, Nick, those are the podcasts that I listen to on a regular basis. Sometimes I'll explore. It's very rare that I explore because I just don't have the time. I walk about, I do a lot of walking, but I walk about a mile a day where I listen to a podcast. And it's a good 20 to 35 minutes, depending on the path I'm taking. I get to listen to 30 minutes and then I get in the shower. I listen to a podcast. That's another 15 minutes. Sometimes when I'm driving to work, that's another 15 minutes. I'll listen to a podcast. Lately, it's been cassette tapes because I still have an old vehicle that has a cassette tape player and I like it. I like listening to cassette tapes. I was listening to the Stand By Me soundtrack and I sure like that. Mr. Lee, Mr. Lee. Ooh, Mr. Lee, Mr. Lee, Mr. Lee. Ah, that's a good song. And that Lollipop song is fantastic. I probably drive people at work crazy because, as I'm sitting there typing at the keyboard, sometimes I'll go, Lollipop, lollipop, oh, lolly, 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 lollipop, lollipop, oh, lolly, 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 lollipop. Ba-dum, boom, boom. And then the Sha Na Na song's on there. But, okay, that's enough tangents. Have you, the next question is interesting. It's also from Nick Wetmore. And he says, have you ever gotten Barb into a title? And yes, I did. And it's always been in the Vertigos. I think she completed all of Fables. And she really, really loves Sturgis on Jack of Fables. So she got into that realm. So I also turned her on to Xenoscope's Grim Fairy Tales, and she read two volumes of that, and she liked it, or she wouldn't have asked for the second volume. So she liked Xenoscope, Grim Fairy Tales, both in the same sort of theme, different type stories, but both in the fairy tale realm. She. Oh, what is the other Vertigo? Oh, DMZ by Brian Wood. She loved that. She finished that. I know there's. I think she read Exterminators. I don't know if she finished it. That was Simon Oliver, another Vertigo title. I had her read Identity Crisis because I'm so emotional about that book. I love Identity Crisis so much, and every time I read it, I cry. So I'm like, Barb, here, read this. And she enjoyed it quite a bit. She didn't cry because she's a heartless wench, but she did enjoy it, but she didn't like Rags Morales' art, and it kills me because I love it. But I may or may not, she's read an issue or two of something that I get. Sometimes I'll make her read Tom King Batman line just so she could see why it's driving me crazy. Because I'll say, okay, Barb, look at this word. Okay, he says this word. And then we'll count how many times he says it. And I just have her do it because it drives me. She understands why I'm drone crazy. Nobody understands why I don't like it. Because everybody loves Tom King's writing. But Barb at least understands why. I don't like Tom King's writing. She understands the repetition is why it's driving me crazy. It's like if you had a record stuck on the same line over and over again, and that happens in my brain, and that's why I can't enjoy it. It's not because the story is not well written. It's because of the dialogue or the captions. I just can't take it. But that's what she's re read. So thank you, Nick. We're almost hitting half an hour. You provided half an hour of entertainment. Another Nerdy Legion guy who does several podcasts, including a Doctor Who, a DC podcast, the Absolute DC podcast. I don't know the name of the Doctor Who one that he does with his son. He does Open Bar, which Martin and Nick, I think, have appeared on. I think that's like a Let's Get Drunk DC Noise Fest. What else is Ronnie? Oh, he does the Ultimate Marvel podcast sometimes. And man, he's done a lot. I think he does a wrestling one. So he does more podcasts than I do. But Ronnie says, what is five comics that you've really gotten you emotional for whatever reason? That's a good question because I just talked to you about one of them. I Kill Giants. That from Image Comics made me cry, and I've read it twice and it makes me cry. Identity Crisis makes me cry in several parts. The biggest one is when Ralph loses his wife. Oh my God, I cry right now. Oh, he's talking to Firebird or Firehawk. They're on a roof patrolling, and he's like, she always likes to surprise me every year, and this year she's gonna surprise me. And she never surprised me because I'm the one of the best detectives in the world. I know she's gonna do something, you know? And he's telling stories to Firehawk on the roof. And he gets home and his wife is dead. I mean, and not only is she dead, but she was gonna t surprise him with something that he's never had, and she was pregnant. And God damn, I still cry when I see that. It's like devastating. And then when you see Tim Drake there holding his father and he's got a boomerang in his chest. Oh my God. And the reason these things strike me is they do is because I love these characters. And when you become ingrained in their lives, even they don't exist. I read every single issue of Robin, and that was a long ass run, and his father was a part of it. And you see him dead. It hurts. And that book is so emotional. You see what it does to the Atom, whose wife killed Sue. And he loved his wife too. A crazy bitch. You see so many things. You see so many emotions. You see Zatanna mind wipe people, including Batman. I mean, it is so. God, I love that book at so many levels, and it kicks me in the ass. The one that made me cry too, but. It was recent, and you're gonna laugh at this one, was the Elmer Fudd Batman, and that's a Tom King written one. Man, he could write some good dialogue for Elmer Fudd, I swear to God. I would take him off of Batman and put him on the Looney Tunes comic. But that book touched me in such a way, it made me cry for different reasons, not because it was emotional, but because it reminds me of being a kid and watching these cartoons and remembering all these great characters. And as I'm reading it, you know, I would see Yosemite Sam climbing up the goddamn ladder over and over again and falling into that little bucket of water. And I don't know, it's just like things that mattered, you know, Foghorn Leghorn and the little chicken and the dog. He's always playing jokes on the dog. Oh God. It just hit me at such a way. So that one was my top book of the year. There's so many books that I get emotional, and Barb will I love to read on my couch. There's two places I love to read on. I love to read on my couch, and I love to read on the deck when the weather's nice. And sometimes Barb is upstairs. She'll look over the overhang and she'll just see me crying. And you're like, "What the fuck are you crying about?" And I'm like, "This comic is so good." But those are the three that I can think of off my head. There's many, many more. They've desensitized death a lot over the years. Like I didn't cry when Superman died, or it just has to be done it right when there's a death or something like that going on. Has to be a shocking thing or something that just strikes a chord with me emotionally. But there's three of them. I could probably think of a lot more, but those are three off the cuff. He said, "Good, bad, or ugly." Oh, he cried laughing. So I answered him. So I'm trying to think of some of the other ones because there's been a lot of them that have got me emotional. I know there's been some episodes. I can't remember if it was Longbow Hunters, but I think I cried during that one. I will cry when there's like a good Ollie scene, an Ollie and Dinah scene, because I love them. I love couples in comics. I think I would say that with Sue and Reed, but Reed is so he doesn't like to show emotion. He's like that figure that I don't know. He's hard to see emotionally. I think I cried when Johnny Storm died, and I think that it was a really well written. I knew he wasn't dead. But I think it was written really well. So there's two more. I know there's so much more. I gotta start writing these down, Ronnie. I gotta start recording them in a spreadsheet when I get emotional about a comic book, so I know these, because that would be a good way to gauge like what that comic book meant to me. That's such an interesting question. I could ponder that one all day. But like Identity Crisis, like I cried right now, so you could tell. And I'm not even reading it, and I still cry. I think I've cried on this podcast before talking about it. So there were some scenes, believe it or not, in DC Rebirth that made me cry. With Wally. And there was other scenes. That one hit me at so many levels. Like there was the emotional one, there was the excitement cry, there was a lot of things in that issue that I got emotional, but I didn't cry with Doomsday Clock because it was like it hit chords. And I'm not even the biggest Watchmen fan, which makes it weird, but it hit the chords of being so well written in that world, in a continuation of that world, that it got me excited. So we got Joe Crawford says, "Your favorite books by Dynamite, past or present?" Definitely The Shadow. And I'm talking about the first volume by Garth Ennis. Well, I'm going to go to that volume because that volume is really spectacular. So let me find out what volume it is. He's got so many books. I think it's the fifth series. Yeah, it's the fifth series. So volume or fifth se I think it's the first volume of Dynamite, fifth series of the Shadow, totally, because he's had volumes at DC, he's had volumes at Archie, at Radio Comics, various other places, and I think I own almost every volume. That'll be interesting to talk about. But anyway, the first arc is fascinating, and it's got like Alex Ross covers and stuff. It's Garth Ennis and Aaron Campbell. I actually own pages of this arc. Not of the Aaron Campbell arc. I mean the Garth Ennis arc, but the follow-on one, because somebody else took over that was just as good, and that's Victor Gershler. And he had Aaron Campbell art, and he introduced I can't remember what the female's name was. And these Alex Ross covers are fucking beautiful. But that arc ran for like 24 issues and had a zero issue. And that was a really good series I'd highly recommend. One I haven't finished that I've loved too is Grand Passion. Let's see who. That one was James Robinson and Tom Fessler on art. And this one was really good. It was like a bank heist type thing. So I'd recommend that one. I've enjoyed the Green Hornets. The $6 Million Man ones have been really good. Especially if you like the series. Like some of them are continued. Like if you were in the 70s and you kept writing that show, then the $6 Million Woman or the Bionic Woman, that was really good too, but I canceled it before I realized I liked it. Red Sonja, top of the notch. Like but you have to love Red Sonja. You have to love like Conan. But usually that is always like a go-to. I get Vampirella. It's not the best, but I like it. What else is good? Oh, the stuff they've done for like Lord of the Jungle. Those are fantastic. Which they don't title it Tarzan, but it's Tarzan. They just can't do it for some legal reason without getting clobbered. They recently Warlord of Mars, all the properties there, but you have to like it. I tend to love like Warlord of Mars, John Carter. I love the movie. Oh my God, I love the property. I read the Marvel stuff. I read this stuff. Deja Thoris, I love that stuff. So any of this stuff is good. I love the Doc Savage stuff. I'm not all caught up on it, but everything that I've read with Doc Savage, but I'm into the pulp. So you get into like Shadow Doc Savage, the Avenger, there's so many pulp, Green Hornet, the Black Bat, oh God, there's so many of them. I even like the Project Superpower stuff. I wish there was more of it, which took open source type characters or that are open to the public and made them viable again. I've liked it a lot. I'm trying to think of what else. Tarzan. They're really good at the pulp. So that's what I'll mention for now. I am behind. At some point I would just like to do like a 1 week where I just try to catch up on some Dynamite. I just finished reading The Shadow Batman 1 through 4, which was done by Dynamite. The other series was DC, which was Batman Shadow. The new Shadow series is really good. I've really liked what I've read so far. The Kiss book I like. It's pretty doggone cool. What they've done with Battlestar Galactica, especially classic Battlestar Galactica, it's been very entertaining. But you have to be a fan of it to get it. You have to have watched those actors and stuff to get a kick out of that stuff. They do it really good. Dynamite does good with writing. Their art is sometimes generic, but sometimes you'll get like an Aaron Campbell or one of those great artists, and you'll be like, whoa, that's awesome. They did a Peter Cannon Thunderbolt. So Ozymandias is Peter Cannon Thunderbolt. Like, he's the Charlton character. He started off at Charlton. DC got him around Crisis on Infinite Earths. And he spawned a new series called Peter Cannon Thunderbolt from DC Comics that was short-lived. And then I'm not sure where he went, but I think he showed up from time to time in DC. And then I think something happened with that character in particular, unlike Blue Beetle and the other ones, where he became open source. I keep saying open source like it's software. What is that term they use? Became public domain. So he became public domain, I believe, because then Dynamite came out with Peter Cannon Thunderbolt, a series that was really well done, really good series. So I hope I answered your Dynamite question. Let's see what else I got. I think that was somebody else's question too. Shane says, who's the first superhero in comics? If you don't count the pulp, which were heroes, were they were like pulp heroes that didn't usually have powers, although the Shadow sort of did. Superman is the first superhero in comics. He's what spawned off all the superheroes in capes and cowls and all that stuff. So I'd say Superman. What Dynamite comics should you read? That was very similar to Joe Crawford's question, so I'll just listen to that one. Are you reading any Hellboy? No. And I have read him in the past and I haven't liked him. However, during my elliptical sessions, I rewatched both Hellboy movies and became so engrossed that I've purchased, I think, the last two series of Hellboy and the Rasputin series. I just haven't gotten around to reading it. And you say, why do you buy these things if you haven't read it? Well, I've explained that in the past too. I have the library mentality. I'll read what I want when I want it. I just want it. I want it here if I'm interested in it, so I can read it when I want to read it. Is Savage Dragon the best book at Image? Nope, but it's one of the best books at Image. At least in my opinion. It's one of the most consistent books at Image. It's one of the best superhero type books at Image. I would say Spawn and Savage Dragon are both sort of equivalent to me, although I tend to side with Savage Dragon as being my favorite. Especially it's my favorite relaunch, Image book from the Founding Fathers. Although I love me some Youngblood, some Spawn, Wildcats, and Shadowhawk. This is from Drew of Comics for Fun and Profit. This will be the last question. And he said, looks like 2017 total comic trade sales were down over 10%. Why do you think that is? No rebirth, no digital growth, purchases outside the direct market, less interest. Okay, so I'll answer those ones first before I answer this something else. No rebirth launch? Yeah, if you don't have a launch of something big, even though Legacy was around that December timeframe, it wasn't a number one and it wasn't like a reimagining. So yes, that I would say yes, that's one of the reasons. Digital growth? No, I think digital growth is flatline. I don't think it's growing, but it's too goddamn expensive. And if it is growing, I hope it's growing in the Netflix paradigm, like Marvel Comics Unlimited, because I even find it hard to like buy Like, who would buy a Marvel comic at $3.99 digitally when you could buy a comic book for less with a discount and have a physical copy and a digital copy? It just seems weird to me. But if you could get like Marvel Unlimited and wait 6 months and just have this open library of stuff, then like I hope the growth is in like Comixology Unlimited and that other limited, but I don't think digital comic sales are growing. I really don't. Even though I know some people are going that way just 'cause of space, I don't think they're growing. I think it's too goddamn expensive. That's what I think sales are dropping. I think the fact that people could get their superheroes so easily, like five fucking movies a year, there's 25 fucking superhero TV shows on TV. I think they're competing with the other media, video games, the superhero, they're competing with themselves. So if you could get a movie for 2.5 hours and spend, I don't know, $7. Let's say you go to the early feature, it's like $6, $7. Or you could buy a comic book for that takes 10 minutes to read or 15 minutes. You're gonna get more entertainment out of the movie than you like more bang for your buck. Is that a better term? If you do that, if you do a video game, it's gonna provide you hours of entertainment, even though it costs a lot up front. You're probably gonna get more than your 10-minute window of entertainment. It is just a hobby that is killing itself because they have to pay their people to survive and they have to pay them a decent wage to keep doing it. And I think once they cut over to and they say retailers, it's over and we cut over digitally, I think it'll be a different game if they go to a like a Netflix paradigm, especially in DC and Marvel. Whatever in DC and Marvel decide to do that, like just permanently and do it week in, it'll change the market. Like brick and mortar will go away. Eventually, I think that's the case. But sales, yeah, they drop. Christmas, they probably drop for several reasons, even though they usually drop in the new year, but it's because people have to buy gifts. And there's a lot of shit going on towards the end of the year. But I think we're gonna see a decrease in comic books. I think speculators and variant covers, they kill cover kill comics. Because they it means you're buying comics. On one spectrum, it could kill comics from the fan because if it's somebody that hoards a book, like so they go in to the shop and there's five copies of some Scout Comics comic book and it's there and they pick up three of them. Well, they might have just killed some of the demand because somebody comes in 3 days later, all the five copies are sold and then they want it. But they're like, do I have to go to eBay to spend $10.99 for 5 minutes of entertainment, 10 minutes of entertainment? No, they'll probably say, fuck it, I'm gonna go to the movies. And then the other thing that I think does it is these variant covers, because when you have these incentives, oh, you buy 50 of this and you get this variant. Yeah, they're gonna sell the variant and they're gonna make the money, but they're not really selling those 50 copies. They're selling 10 or whatever they normally sell. I think that kills it. I think the variant covers kill it. And especially when they do something with like these variant covers that people want and they can't get, and they have to order 250 copies of Thor 25 or or it's more like 125% of your Thor 25. Shit like that, those shenanigans kill it. I think that even though Valiant sales are solid, I think they're hiding shit because I think stores get those variants because Valiant has the completist mentality, the fan. So they if they want the completist to cover, they're gonna do what they have to do to get the 1 in 50, the 1 in 100. But then those books just sit there. They don't go nowhere. And most of them don't, you know, they'll end up in a quarter box and some fan will buy it 10 years from now. when they discover Valiant. But stuff like that kills it. And if it keeps up, I think it'll kill it like it did in the 90s. I do. But there'll always be comic books, whether they be in digital or other things. So, yeah, I think variant covers kill it. I think people have to spend money on other stuff. I think this is going to be the year of decreasing comic sales. I think a lot of fans are getting burnt out and doing different things to save money. So, yeah, I think it. My store is hurting. I know it is. So, I don't know if DCBS is hurting, but I know some people that left DCBS to go elsewhere, and they got to hurt a little bit because of that. But my shop, I know, had a bad December, and he went in on those damn Marvel lenticulars and the one with two images, and he that was not good for his store. Some people that did good for. He took a gamble. No one in the city did it other than him, and it didn't pay off for him. So, yeah, those covers did not do well. And I think they should have just, if they were open to order, I think it would have changed the paradigm. I don't think you would have saw this decrease if those lenticular covers were open to order. I think it would have been a different ball game. I don't know what else. Less interest, yeah, that's definitely. You had mentioned that. I think there is less interest. I think that's the big one. 'Cause if you want something, you'll go get it. I mean, you will. You'll find a way to get it. Even though your money is limited, if you'll take something else out to get that. You might eat ramen noodles, but you'll have your copy of Spider-Man. So, a lot of good questions. Thank you all for listening. But variant covers, I think, is I think it's lived its course. And I think it's very cyclical. And I think it's going to stop at some point. Well, that's weird. Public Domain Heroes just popped up on my Facebook. That is weird. Because, I want to join this group now. You have to answer questions. Why do you want to join our group? I am interested in Public Domain Heroes and what is out there. Do you agree to no spamming? Yes. No contents out of group subject unless approved. Do you agree? Yes. Yeah, I don't usually go outside of whatever the topic is. Let's see if they let me in. They probably won't. I'm trouble. Well, thank you for the questions. This has been a long ass episode. It's almost an hour. I might not even do the comics for this one. But thank you for the questions, and I will see ya. Bye. Oh wait, no. I'll add the comics to the end of this just so I keep that list moving. So it's not over. I will be back with the list of weekly reads. All right, and we are back. And these are the books that I've read for March 6th through March 12th of 2017. Again, the ratings are 5, I love it, 4, I really like it, 3, I like it, 2, I did not like it, and 1, I hated it. This was a pathetic week. Only 24 comics read that week in March. Two image, 20 DC, one chapter house, and one aftershock. So let's start with the 3 out of 5s, which means I just liked it. We got Superpowers number 5. This is a kid's book. The team fights with Prime, and it's not, it's like Superboy Prime, but it's not. It's called, it's spelled Pryme. That's a knockoff of him. Apparently Brainiac and Kryptonian, and then they had a kid, and this guy came out. And then Darkseid attacks Gotham. It's a light read. It takes about 5 minutes to read. Then we had Scooby-Doo Team Up number 23. They visit a ghost town where Quickdraw McGraw is, and there's a hypnotizing criminal that hypnotized Ricochet the Rabbit. Not too much of a fan of Quickdraw McGraw, but I did watch some, and I think when I watched Quickdraw McGraw was a lot of after school stuff in high school, or maybe, yeah, it must have been high school, on the USA Network. They'd have like a cartoon block after school, and saw a lot of Hanna-Barbera stuff, things like Huckleberry Hound and things I didn't normally watch, but I watched them to chill out. Maybe it was Saturdays that I watched it. I can't remember because I was always at basketball, so I don't know when I watched it. Then we had Shade, the Changing Girl, number 6. Evil girl tries to take over her body from Shade again, but's prevented with the help from her friends. So Shade is in a teenage girl's body, and one of the evil girls was trying to take over her body from Shade, and it didn't work out. Her friends actually came to help her, and her friends are like, "What the hell? Why is she acting so different?" Because she was a real bitch before Shade took over her body. Then we have Agents of Pact number 1. This is a Canadian Agents of Shield type thing where they try to investigate anomalies across the world. The main character is betrayed by a sister organization, Halo, not Wildstorm's Halo, but Halo, Halo Equilibrium. I wonder what that is. Very nice art, I said. I don't even think it's finished. Man, their publishing schedule is horrible at Chapter House. This last shipment I got from DCBS, it had like 4 Chapter House books, and I think they were all older books. We have Supergirl number 7. Supergirl tries to help a werewolf Kryptonian whose condition is not the moon, but psychological. And what I mean by that is the moon doesn't change her, but it's a psychological transformation. Another 3 out of 5. Supergirl has gotten better. Midnighter and Apollo, number 6. So this was the conclusion. I thought the series started off better than it ended, but Apollo did track down Neuron, and they both escaped hell. And obviously, I read something else because there's a description there, but no title. That's interesting. I hate when I do that because then I lose track of what I read. I gotta be careful. I'm getting better at the last couple weeks because I notice how bad I've been at recording some of these things. The last 3 out of 5, that which means I like it, was Justice League of America number 2, Die Hard Kills by Havoc. And the extremists take over a country, Kras Korvos, or Kras Ka Krav Ikoros. We then have, going to the 4 out of 5s, a lot of DCs in this one. Well, there were a lot of DCs in the other one, too. But we have Batgirl on the Birds of Prey. Nightwing goes to visit the Birds of Prey and is suspicious of Oracle. Oracle's acting strange. I think that's the Oracle that's a dude. We have Frostbite number 6. A cure is developed at Alcatraz. They can't save the main character who's Frostbite. Is in advanced stages, so that's the main character, and they kill Fuego. We got DC's Retroactive, Batman the 80s number 1. We have Batman Year 2 number 5, 575 reprint with the Reaper, who is killing bad people in Gotham. And Batman's defeated by the Reaper, who is an older man and returns to Gotham. And then the daughter is a nun that Bruce... where is that? Maybe that's where it continued. Falls in love with. The new story is a new Reaper who Bruce thinks is a nun, and Jason Todd turns out to be the brother, to be brother and sister of a rival gang who capture nun. What the fuck did I mean? No, not it's not Jason Todd that turns out to be a brother. Jason Todd's in the story, but the villains turn out to be a brother and sister of a rival gang who capture the nun. That was funny write-up. And it was even in the wrong area. I need to cut and paste that and put it where it's supposed to be. And then delete that. So that wasn't a missing comic. That was a missing description. We have Savage Things number one. This is an agency profiles kids and kills parents if they are deemed to have serial killer properties. That was a Vertigo title. We have Harlequin number 15. Harley tries to reason and team with... What the hell? Oh, this is the one with that like godlike creature. Harley tries to reason and teach that godlike creature Earth's ways and food. Terra goes to find Power Girl. That's also the new Terra, which was a Palmiotti and Gray character, for help. Harley keeps money and Band-Aids in her butt. I don't know why I wrote that up, but it was funny. She keeps them in her butt crack. Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps number 16. Hal and Kyle return with Blue Lantern. Guy fights Arkillo in hand-to-hand combat without rings and nearly dies. That was a good issue. We had Wonder Woman number 18. Veronica Kale's child has no face. And you got to remember those two brothers, Phobos and whatever. They stole her child. Phobos and I can't remember the other brother's number. They're like twin gods. Dr. Cyber disables Wonder Woman's watch for Barbara Minerva, and Minerva becomes Cheetah. We have Extremity number one. This is Image. Medieval space about a family whose daughter lost her art hand, and a brother is a coward, and a father is out for revenge. Action Comics 975. Clark turns out to be Mixel Pitalik. That was the one, if you remember how Rebirth started, there was a Clark Kent and there was a Superman, and you're like, what the fuck? What's going on? Well, that's what happened. He turned out to be Mixel Pitalik. And he took Jonathan Mixel Pitalik, captured by Mr. Oz, which has been going on in the story for a long time, and escaped saying his name backwards many times. He is mad because Superman did not notice he was not around when the Rebirth came. He's pissed off. Red Hood and the Outlaws number 8. They take down Sturk, who's a Batman villain. It's about Artemis and the Bow of Ra, and it stars Wonder Woman. We have Flash number 18. Kid Flash and Flash go to Belle Reve to find out what happened to his father. So if you remember, the new Wally West father was Reverse Flash and was a bad guy and went on a Suicide Squad mission in Suicide Squad and got killed. They try to get information from Boomerang, who is an Australian on a mission. We have Detective Comics 952. Shiva is Cassie's mother. Shiva and the League of Shadows start destroying Gotham, takes out Batman, Azrael, and Batwing is captured. So Batman and Azrael are sidelined and Batwing is captured. We have 5 out of 5s. Royal City number 1. A family deals with a father who had a stroke. All see ghosts of dead brother. Sister trying to turn a factory into a golf resort at her husband's expense. That was really a good issue. I got to get back on that. Suicide Squad number 13. Rustam tries to win over Flag and Katana. The Dijin, which is a genie name, deactivates brain chips. Deathstroke accused of killing Waller and admits it. Everyone escapes. Boomerang kills Hack. At least you think so. No, that what really did happen. Deathstroke number 14, and Hack was a character that was on the team, and a good character, if I remember correctly. Deathstroke sleeping with Jericho's soon-to-be wife. This is Deathstroke 14. That's his son's wife, but she's doing something funky. Like, there's something weird going on there. She was an agent that fell in love with her target. Rose finds weapons with her name engraved on it. It stars the Teen Titans Power Girl as she helps Deathstroke, and then Deathstroke goes blind. Last 5 out of 5, and I think this one has dropped off for me, but it's Animosity from Aftershock, the number 2 through 4. This is Sandor the Bloodhound protects Jessie, the little girl. The parents are dead now, and they find a refuge that is now overthrown by other animals. And that's the last 5 out of 5. So that week, the 5 out of 5s were Royal City number 1 from Image Comics, Suicide Squad number 13 from DC Comics, Deathstroke number 14 by Christopher Priest from DC Comics, Animosity 2 through 4 by Marjorie Bennett, and Royal City is Jeff Lemire. So that's all. I hope you have a good day, and you can reach me at mike@comicbooknoise.com. My Twitter handle is @MikeMyersBrunch. I'm at geekbrunchpodcast.com, and we'll leave the light on for you. No, you can go to Facebook as well and search for Geek Brunch Podcast and click the like button and follow all episode threads there. You can send me feedback at any time, and I'll go over it on this show. Any questions will be discussed on this show in the opening segment. And we'll talk to you later. Thank you for listening. And if you get a chance, leave an iTunes review. Thank you. Bye.